know you came here to say. If you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. Going down for it.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy hump day, everybody. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Not only hump day, but April Fool's Day. And as I'm joined again by back from vacation for the second time in 3 weeks, Nathan Zagura joins me back in the Dog Bowl.
Back from WrestleMania.
From WrestleMania. Not quite a vacation, but when you're around that group of guys, I'm sure it can get absolutely crazy.
It got a little crazy and not a lot of sleep out there in California, but I got to go home.
That's
to the
awesome.
San Francisco Bay Area, which was good. Got to see my dad. You already got me on April Fool's, though.
I did.
You did.
And that's actually, as I wrote out some of our Ohio Business Machine hot topics, and we'll share with the callers or with everyone out there the April Fool's joke that I've already pulled, that my wife pulled on a few of her friends as well. We want to hear from you. 216-578-0850 as the show goes on all show long. What is the best April Fool's joke you have played on someone? And on the flip side, what is the best April Fool's joke someone has pulled on you?
Yours was pretty good on me because I wasn't even aware that it was April Fool's.
Exactly. Because I knew you had the jet lag and getting back in the swing of things, so I knew you were susceptible to a good April Fool's joke. So the April Fool's joke that my wife pulled on a friend and went very well, I thought I would do the very same to someone who is, of course, close to me in my life and who had a crazy weekend and was just getting back into the swing of things. So what I did to Nathan was I sent him the ultrasound of twins, you know, in my wife's belly, prospectively, along with a text saying, "Look what I found. What am I going to do?" You know, and I responded.
No, that's not what it said. First, I wanted to shoot myself. Then I realized I can always give up for adoption. Twins due November 2015.
Which is something that I would never do, first and foremost. I would never. I would keep them and love them. I wouldn't mind two more kids, even though it would be very hectic. But yes, you're absolutely right. Expecting November 2015, and I get your response was, "Holy, you know what? Congrats, brother." And
supportive. You didn't even say April Fool's. Just go, "Are you coming in today?" So I still thought it was real.
Yeah. So Nathan walks in. He goes, "Awesome, dude. You know, congrats, man." And I just go, "April Fool's." And he goes, "What? Huh? It is April 1st. Yes. Oh, you mean it's not serious?" So yes, we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. Your best April Fool's joke you have pulled, and also someone has pulled on you.
I don't know that I've really been like a big April Fool's jokester.
No, but you know, even for me, you know, waking up this morning and tuning in to Pro Football Talk and some of the other, you know, media NFL media sites, Bruce Irvin, the Seattle Seahawks pass rusher, outside linebacker, pulled one on his fan base, I think via Twitter. With the fact that he was apologizing for getting pulled over for a DUI, and then 25 minutes later saying, you know, April Fool's. And there was one other that I'll have to recollect here from an April. Oh, the Indianapolis Colts as a team put out a 2-minute video with an all white, white on white on white version of new uniforms.
White, white, white,
so,
white.
So completely white helmets, white numbers, everything white.
Okay.
So nothing on the uniform of any color, and just how, you know, one of the players was actually talking about how what an advantage it is that a team's going to be able to watch us on film and not know what number we're wearing. And at that point, you knew it was an April Fool's joke.
I like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let us know your best April Fool's jokes. I got to tell you, WrestleMania was pretty awesome this year. It was a pretty good show.
The Ronda Rousey Rock stuff was
awesome. Ronda Rousey
sweet.
And The Rock.
That was sweet.
That was awesome.
Stephanie McMahon.
The main event was good.
Triple H.
You had the main event where Brock Lesnar didn't get beaten but lost his title. They had a Money in the Bank cash-in with Seth Rollins. So you had a new champion. You had some really good matches. You had the great ladder match for the Intercontinental title, which Daniel Bryan won. The 49ers Stadium was very, very cool.
How was the weather?
Weather was perfect. It was
okay.
Like 70 to 80 every day.
Because I know that you know, Pro Football Talk, my main source of information, said that it was their test run for Super Bowl 50.
And it was apparently a success.
Yeah, no major hiccups. You know, some minor things I'm sure that they're going to tweak. And that's great. And that's the one thing I'm always worried about when any, you know, major event tries to be featured at an outdoor stadium. when the weather or it, you know, maybe not necessarily even raining, which would have completely ruined it and postponed it.
Well, they would have had, they would have the rain covered, so the crowd would have to send the rain. But they had, the performers would have been fine,
Of course, but even more so, just even cold. I know sometimes the Bay Area can be very iffy and even get cold, drop into the 40s, which would be very unpleasant to watch. You know, wrestlers in tights while freezing their you-know-whats off.
Yes, no, you are correct about that. But it was, the weather was perfect. It was a fun weekend, obviously. It was obviously always a lot of fun. And got to, hang out with The Miz, who did not win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. His personal assistant, Mizdow, screwed him over.
What?
Yeah, Mizdow. No, unbelievable. The guy, certainly not a grateful guy. His personal assistant finally got tired of The Miz's shenanigans and did it, Can you believe that?
I cannot believe it. I'll have to tune into YouTube to understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, he turned on him. It'd be like if like you and I
it's
were.
It's like
boys
Virgil turning on the Million Dollar Man.
It's exactly what it was.
Okay,
that's
gotcha.
Fantastic. Well done.
Yes, thank you.
Good for you. Yes, that's exactly what it would have been.
Or the snake biting Jake the Snake.
Yes, Damian biting Jake the Snake Roberts himself. That would have been, which would have been terrible. But I got to see my buddy Vince Conti, friend of the show, who's he's chimed in on this program from time to time. I saw obviously TexGate.
This
was handed down, which and I was happy to
be, and weigh in on it.
And we were right on all the time. People were getting out of control, and I said, it's not going to be a draft pick. And if it is, it'll be at the very end. Turns out not a draft pick.
And also, too, it might not even have been this year. Similar to the way Atlanta's getting a fifth round pick next year.
Yeah, no draft pick. Ray Farmer's going to be suspended for 4 games, but the 53-man roster will be set. Maybe there'll be some minor tweaks.
But
in
will
there.
It?
Yeah.
Because he's going to be suspended that Sunday prior to the Sunday that week one.
It's after the deadline for the 53 for your final.
Right, 53. Which is Saturday.
Yeah.
But still, the 50, and again, this is my experience that I've shared.
No, there'll be
in
some
absence.
Tweaking at the bottom.
There's absolutely tweaking because the 53 that makes the team, I know being a player, it's like the 53-man roster is great because you didn't get cut, but you also have that yet question mark in your head. If you're towards the bottom of the roster, and at certain points in my career I was as a backup / special teams guy, that Ray and his staff will have to do a very quick job of evaluating what becomes available, on the market, because 32 other teams are also going to have to get down to 53.
Let me take you into kind of inside how that all works.
Sure.
So they go through and they make – they're cognizant of who they think on every roster at the positions that they feel like – there are only going to be so many positions that they're going to say, okay, like this is where we would upgrade if somebody comes available. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not going to be every single position on the roster.
But I talked about it yesterday with Dave DiNatale when we were, airing from the Galleria Studios. And I mentioned that every year, and it seems to me there's probably a handful, we'll say 5, guys throughout the league that are, a veteran whose number has gotten high and the team has hit on a draft pick or hit on a draft pick prior. And a guy hits the market that is a surprise that he had been released by the club that he's probably been with for a significant amount of time and or a team that he signed with recently but just got a high number that's paid him a lot of money that they're going to cut in that final cut that becomes available that potentially a guy like Ray Farmer is not going to have a say in.
So what I was going to say is, so what they do is they look at everybody's roster, and yes, there can always be surprises, but what they're looking at is everybody's roster to try to figure out who is a potential to get cut at what position. And so what they'll do from that, they'll take that, and then they will go ahead and they will look at, what needs they have. So all this scouting of the potential people that could get cut at that point is done.
Sure.
That'll be done.
Yes.
They'll have their list of if somebody gets cut, they'll have their list at every position of if this person, wide receivers that we think could get cut. If these people get cut, this is the direction we're going. They have all of that is done. All that is done. So that'll just be follow the list, decide who's graded higher. You know the grades you have on your own players.
Sure.
Who's graded higher? Somebody graded higher gets released and the salaries are awash or whatever. You make those decisions. That'll all be in place before Ray Farmer is suspended.
Right. And for you understanding this process, simply because I've been a player and, you have that inside look and experience in doing so, does he also too grade? Because of course he would have gotten to the 53. So there are 53 Browns at that point, and then there are grades on guys on other teams. Now, at what point do we also grade that bottom third of our roster?
Of course, every player on the team's graded.
Okay, they're also
every player's
graded.
Every player on the practice.
And if something
graded,
else out there becomes available,
that's better. You make
that's better.
Upgrade.
You make an upgrade. Okay.
Yeah. So they'll have all of that in place. That will all be established, and then Bill Kuharik, Morocco Brown, Dan Sagany. those guys will be involved in what decisions need to
Mike
be
Pettine
made.
Mike Pettine as well, I'm sure.
I'm sure the coach, yes, the coaches are always involved as well. So, yeah, that will all be in place. That'll all be ready to go for this team when Ray Farmer takes his hiatus. Now, there are a lot of transactions at that time of the year. There certainly can be. But they will have everything ready to go for that, especially this year. They'll probably be even more diligent in it, knowing that, you know, yeah, Ray is going to be not there at that time.
Absolutely. And again, the one other hot topic, Ohio Business Machine hot topic that I'd like to throw out there is Jameis Winston's pro day was yesterday. Over 100 throws. What did you think of his pro day? Does he look as sloppy as people are saying, you know, or do you need a ripped up in shape quarterback? But also too is,
I thought he looked good.
I thought he had, I love the fact that he was able to show off his feet, you know, with George Whitfield's ability to move him around in the pocket, you know, hit him with the broom, throw over the tennis rackets, things of that sort. Not necessarily in helmet and shoulder pads like Johnny Manziel last year, but George Whitfield prefaced his workout that it was going to be a longer workout. But also, too, news has come out that not only is Jameis Winston not going
to
attend the draft,
but
now Marcus Mariota, you know, the good guy. And in some cases, we rode Jameis Winston for not wanting to go, but that is his own choice. But now Marcus Mariota, the number two quarterback, the good guy that does everything right, now is choosing to stay in his home state of Hawaii with his family as opposed to attending the draft in Chicago.
Jameis Winston's, you know, grandma can't fly and he wants to be with his grandma and his family. I'm fine with that. Joe Thomas went fishing and didn't go to the draft, you know, and it's just because these guys are quarterbacks that I think maybe people are looking into it, but I'm totally fine with it. I don't think it's a big deal.
I don't either. And I think also too, it's their own prerogative. But at first, when we spoke about Jameis Winston, we said it was a little bit of a slap in the face to the NFL, simply because the NFL has finally made the executive decision to move it out of, you know, Radio City Music Hall in New York City. It's now in a new venue. They're shining a light on it. You know, they want to move it around from city to city, and this is their first city, and you miss out, and the number one pick's not there, and maybe the number two pick, the two top guys that have been talked about for the last 4 months, are not going to be there.
Well, what I was wondering is, does this happen if the draft still in New York?
I think so. The reasoning behind it is because Jameis Winston doesn't want to go because his grandmother struggles with type 2 diabetes and can't travel. So that's what he said yesterday after his pro day about not attending the draft. And then Marcus Mariota therefore said, and Jameis Winston, you could throw him in the same ball of wax. He wants to be with the people that got him to where he is to be, you know, the blessing is that's going to be drafted, you know, top 10 in this year's NFL draft.
He's going number one.
Winston's going number one.
After that pro day, yeah. Yes. Mariota, top 10. I think he goes number two. But I don't know. I think there's some – if it was – New York is New York. New York is New York City. Like, I think that they would have walked the same stage that everybody else has walked. That's where the draft is. It's in New York. I'm not sure that this happens if they're in New York. I think that the Chicago might be a little less appealing. It's a new tradition. It's not the same as walking into Radio City Music Hall in the biggest city in the world and going and becoming the number one pick of the draft. I think there's something very different to these guys about it. I know I feel differently about it just going to attend it, that it's in Chicago. You don't really know what it's going to be. New York was New York. You walked down, you came right down, you know, and it was – the city was – everybody was there. All the media was there. All the media is still going to be there. But it was New York City, Radio City Music Hall.
But don't you think that the NFL is going to go above and beyond to make this –
Yeah, but it's Chicago.
Yeah.
And Chicago's a great city, but it's not New York.
No, it's not New York. What is it? The second largest market in the United States, and then L.A. third. So it's not New York. I'm not trying to say that it is, but I'm sure the NFL is going to spare no expense to make it the great hoopla that we know the NFL can for any major event.
It will. I just wonder if that had anything to do with it at all, that it was the new thing. I think for Jameis, I think it's almost in some ways he's doing it because I think obviously he wants to be with his family. He say that. I think it's great for him. I don't think he's doing anything wrong. I also think it helps him as well, you know, media-wise. I think it's a good move for him. Takes him out of the spotlight and also shines a spotlight on, this is a good guy off the field. He wants to be with his grandmother who has the diabetes and can't travel. I think that no problem with it. Nope. No problem with it at all. It's a dangerous thing, though, because you could end up having a draft where nobody ends up going. the draw of going to the draft is to see those guys walk across the stage,
yes,
shake hands with the commissioner,
take those
pictures, hold up the team jersey, take that picture, and you're not going to have any of that. You're going to have the camera in his house where he's with his family and he gets all excited and hugs everybody, and that's great,
yeah,
but that's not what the NFL wants.
No,
so you
can
have the NFL start to mandate that people would go.
You're right.
Nobody cared about Joe. To be honest, Joe Thomas was an offensive tackle.
Right.
No, they didn't care.
No.
These guys are the quarterbacks.
Correct.
These are the faces of the draft.
Faces of the franchises.
Face of the franchise.
For the next 5 years.
Face of the draft. And they're not going to have that pitcher standing there holding up the jersey with the commissioner of that team.
Which will loom over the NFL and moving the draft from New York to another location, albeit Chicago or not, for years to come.
Yes. And I think that played some type of a role in it. I think that is absolutely playing some type of role in it. All right. April Fool's Day here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Happy to be back. We can talk WrestleMania if you want. We can talk Texgate as well. Anything that you want to talk about here as it relates to the Browns, as it relates to, of course, April Fool's Day, these young quarterbacks skipping the draft. Let us know what you think, and we will go ahead and talk about that with you. 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You, you and Tommy, even